Time to join Joan Lewis, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome. She brings us the Vatican Week in review.
So, Joan, welcome back. Last week we had Pope Francis go to take possession of his cathedral.
A big thing, obviously, for the Holy Father, because for those who don't know, St. John Lateran is one of the four papal basilicas in Rome, but it's also the cathedral church of the Bishop of Rome, who is always the Pope.
It was Divine Mercy Sunday.
Divine Mercy Sunday. And you know what was so amazing? He did that in the afternoon. Instead of having it be like a morning mass, he did it, went in the afternoon at 5:30. But two things before that were kind of striking. One, of course, was the Angelus, 100,000 people in St. Peter's Square.
The
Regina Caeli. It was Divine Mercy Sunday, that's true, but it was a lovely day. So in late afternoon, the Holy Father goes to St. John Lateran. Before he went in for the Mass, during which he would take possession of the cathedral, he actually a plaque was unveiled. He blessed it. A plaque was unveiled by the mayor of Rome, Alemano, dedicating part of a square, which had been St. John Lateran Square, to Blessed Pope John Paul II. So
it's a big square. People who don't know it.
Yes. There's really like two entrances to St. John Lateran. Both of those squares are fairly large. One has concerts and so forth on May 1st, and a lot of big gatherings, even political, are held in that square. So another thing Francis did, I don't ever recall a pope doing this, and please correct me, but they don't go that often to St. John Lateran or to the other basilicas in Rome. But Pope Francis went out on the main loggia, the balcony.
No, I didn't recall it.
Overlooking the square. It was a windy, gusty day, as today is, as a matter of fact, but his zucchetto blew off. The crowd, tens of thousands of people, as far as they could be, as close as they could be to him, were there. And, you know, it's interesting. One thing, Pope Francis, in this period, a month, he's called Pope Francis, but he refers to himself as the Bishop of Rome. And so taking possession of the cathedral was a very important step for him.
It's a sacramental title.
Yes, exactly. It's a very, very important thing, and he'll be going this Sunday to St. Paul's Outside the Walls for Mass there in the afternoon, also at 5:30. But the Pope once again focused on a theme that penetrates everything he says, and that is God's love and God's mercy, telling us it's going to become part of us. He's going to say it so often that it's going to become part of us that we think of God, and he talked about this Wednesday in the audience, God as our Father. God so loves us. He is so filled with mercy, and he is so willing to forgive any little transgression, big or little. The Pope has been asking us for a month, just don't forget this. Don't be afraid to come to him. Don't be afraid to ask for pardon. Don't be afraid to ask for his mercy. And, of course, on Divine Mercy Sunday, obviously, you would have to have mercy be at the center of his homily. One of the things that the Pope said was picked up by a lot of the media, and that was the fact that the Pope invited those who had strayed from the faith to have the courage to listen to God, to accept his grace, and to return. And again, the Pope said, someone may think, my sin is so great, and I'm as far from God as the younger son in the parable, and my unbelief is like St. Thomas. But Francis says, God's waiting for you. And he only asks the courage to go to him. Sunday was a beautiful and historical day, and Monday, the beginning of a week with meeting a number of world leaders and saying his daily masses in the chapel at the Santa Marta, where
they've become quite a happening in a sense.
They have. All the homilies I chose to kind of mention today, I loved his one about thou shalt not gossip and talk poorly of others. And he said, when we prefer to gossip about others or criticize others, these are everyday things that happen to everyone, including me, he said. And these are the temptations of the evil one, who does not want the Spirit to come to us and bring us peace and meekness in the Christian community. Christian behavior means, among other things, do not judge anyone, because the only judge is the Lord. And then you keep quiet, he said. And if you have something to say, say it to the interested parties, to those who can remedy the situation. not to the entire neighborhood. So that was, I think, at the Mass on Tuesday, and then that very same day, he met Ban Ki-moon, the UN Secretary General, and there always are such meetings, and we know that that Ban Ki-moon invited him to speak at the UN, and I thought it was fascinating. The Secretary General met with a pool of journalists afterwards, and I thought his comments on the Pope were absolutely amazing. He said the meeting was uplifting and hopeful. Pope Francis is a man of peace and purpose, a voice for the voiceless. And he said, I look forward to continuing our conversation. And he said he was heartened by Pope Francis's commitment to build bridges among the communities of faith. I strongly believe, said the Secretary General, that interfaith dialogue can point a way to a deeper appreciation of shared values, which in turn can lead to tolerance, inclusion, and peace. Now, I have to say something very interesting about this week's general audience. Obviously, this show is the time allotted to us doesn't allow us to do all the events. But I usually, just like you, like all of us, we cover the Vatican, we read the Pope's, how we don't always attend these events. Well, I attended the Wednesday audience. It was a wonderful, joyful thing, and I was with members of the Papal Foundation, and that's where you do sit up on the same level as the Pope and visiting bishops sit. And so I was able to get, you know, some good pictures. And you watch the behind the scenes, literally. You watch the bishops gather. You watch the Swiss guards and the gentlemen of His Holiness and so forth. But what was so astonishing, you know, we've talked for a couple of weeks now about the fact the Holy Father has only spoken in Italian. Well, Wednesday at the audience, any of us who understood Spanish sat up a little straighter, because he did give to the Spanish-speaking people, he gave the catechesis in Spanish. And it was the first time since he has become Holy Father that publicly he has spoken his native language, which one certainly would expect him to say. So maybe some people said, you know, Holy Father, you are allowed to speak your native language. So a wonderful catechesis. And again, it's fun to watch him. Oh, my word. At the end, he went around. He probably was supposed to shake about 10 hands. He shook about 110. And he went around, on the same level of the Sagrato where he's seated. The people are seated to his right and his left. And he just went around, shook the hand of every single person who was in the front row of that section, including members of his favorite football team, soccer team, in Argentina, who gave him, I think it was a hat. He's been a member of this soccer team since, I don't know how many years now, 10 years, something like that. And he has his tesser is 88532, if I recall the number. So he'd like to go to, he has said he'd like to go to a soccer match. I have a feeling that the Vatican security will buy him a bigger television set, but not allow him to go to a soccer stadium. So that's a week with the Holy Father. I mean, those are just the highlights, obviously. But yeah. Next week we'll be back with more stories. So stay tuned and come back.
Listening there to Joan Lewis, EWTN's bureau chief here in Rome.